Hi, everybody, and welcome again to our continuing work with the first initiation. I'm throwing in some extra references here that I did not find in the compilation that I was using, maybe because they don't all say first initiation. They sometimes indicate it in a different way. So, as I say, when I run into things that I've done before, if I don't have something different to say, I'll probably skip them. But for the moment, I'll just proceed with this. We've done about one third of this extra references document. So, okay, this next one is from Initiation Human and Solar, where, of course, you can find such excellent descriptions of the initiations. If you want to read in a continuous manner, it's very worthwhile. And I suggest, you know, really that you do that. And if you want to go to a commentary that's on that, on Makara, I've done a pretty complete commentary on all of the chapters of Initiation Human and Solar. All right, going on then, this is about whether the initiations are taken in the causal body or the astral body. The ceremony of initiation takes place on the three higher subplanes of the mental plane and on the three higher subplanes according to the initiation. Now, that seems to suggest that in a way, let's see about that. Is the third subplane then the second and the first involved, or with the causal body, egoic lotus, having moved to the second subplane, are all these initiations taken on the second subplane, as seems to be indicated elsewhere? Because really, the highest of the mental subplanes is the place of expression of the monastic permanent atom, and I do believe we can substantiate the idea that the causal body is destroyed on the second subplane of the higher mental plane. But let's see, you know, there are different takes on all this. The five-pointed star at the initiations on the mental plane flashes out before the head of the initiate. Well, we'll just say that in a way, the chamber of initiation is the causal body. That is the cave of initiation. Within the egoic lotus. Now, how that is all positioned and where the consciousness exactly of the initiate is focused on what vibratory level, I suppose it depends on the initiation being taken. I suppose each one of the petals is at a different vibratory level, I suspect. Each of the petals of the egoic lotus may be on a different vibratory level, and according to the initiation will be the focus. This is what I suspect. I cannot substantiate this, but I offer you as well my speculations on this, and you can continue with your own speculations. The five-pointed star at the initiations on the mental plane, and that's initiation 1, 2, and 3, and I suppose 4 begins on the mental plane anyway and involves the Buddhic plane, flashes out above the head of the initiate, above the head. Now, the question is, in a way, does the initiate see it? Okay, this concerns the first initiations which are undergone in the causal body. How many are there? It has been said that the first two initiations take place upon the astral plane, but this is incorrect, and the statement has given rise to misunderstanding. They are felt profoundly in connection with the astral and physical bodies. I suppose the first initiation with the physical body and the second very much with the astral, and the lower mental as well. That would be the third initiation, and affect their control. Okay, the chief effect being felt in those bodies, the initiate may interpret them as having taken place on the planes concerned. Well, you know, I suppose there are a lot of etheric physical changes that occur in relation to the first initiation. We just have to correlate the bodies with the initiations. As the vividness of the effect and the stimulation of the first two initiations work out largely in the astral body. Okay, so, but there would be certainly an effect in the physical, but vividness in the astral body. So basically, even the first initiation has a strong, has a strong astral body effect. But it must ever be remembered that the major initiations are taken in the causal body or dissociated from that body on the buddhic plane or atmic plane. And I suspect the fourth initiation is such in relation to the buddhic plane. And I would suspect the fifth initiation. Okay, well, the fifth initiation in relation to the atmic plane. And that is an initiation, incidentally, that we, you know, it's ruled by the first ray. And of course, Atma represents the first ray aspect of the spiritual triad. So the spiritual will is involved, the first ray, and the fifth initiation. It all fits together. Now, okay, so what have we extracted from that? The area in which the initiate faces the initiator, or a representation of the initiator, as in the case of Sanat Kumara, the star, the eye, and then, only then, at the fifth degree, which is Leonian in a way, and has to do with identity, then face to face. Okay, now we'll, this one we've done many times, and I guess it's just the collection of the requirements of the first and second initiation. So, you know, basically, for the first initiation, loving one's fellow men, being interested in esoteric teaching or some spiritual teaching of a real nature, and disciplining oneself to attain greater beauty of life, these indicate the first degree, and then you add to it those who are seeking mental polarization. It will occur after the second degree, mental polarization. You can see that if you study the sixth initiation in that little section in the rays and the initiations, we see that mental polarization is not the same as mental focus. It's not even the same as an illumined mind and spiritual intelligence, which go along with the second initiation. Mental polarization is something more, and I imagine that the soul has a special relationship to the mental body when mental polarization occurs. So the thinking nature is awakened, and one is no longer only residing in one's Kama monastic, the results of one's Kama monastic initiation. One is trying to go farther. So the desire and aspiration to think and to know, coupled with the distinguishing marks of the first. But then there's a bit more regarding the first initiation, and we should sort of have these in our mind simultaneously. All true aspirants have taken the first initiation, and here are the signatures of those who have the intensive struggle to grow into the spiritual life, to follow the determined orientation to the things of the spirit and the soul as it represents the spirit, and to follow on the way of determined orientation and to live by the light of that spirit. So struggling to grow, orientation towards the spirit, living by the light of that spirit, which in this case, at first, is the soul as it represents the spirit. And indeed, the soul does represent the spirit, for it's very much a result of the impulse from the monad that the soul body is created. Either because, as in an earlier system, there was a great calling from animal man, or because in this particular system, there was the time had come for the awakening of the planetary heart. The monad is associated also with the heart center of the solar logos, it being on the second subplane, and there we see the heart center somewhat lower. You know, heart centers are found on the second subplane, as you'll notice here in this chart number 8 in the Tibetan's books, and a treatise on cosmic fire. Heart center is found here and here. So, in fact, the soul does represent the monad, and the soul consciousness, as it is experienced very fully within the jewel and the lotus one day, is really the extension of monadic consciousness. Everything is the monad in various degrees of attenuation as we deal with the lower planes. Okay, now I think I may have dealt with this one. Organization, yes, I think I did. And let's just see whether I did. All right. First initiation, and let's see here. This was all about the Black Lodge, you know, and how they can and must take the first initiation. So this, first initiation of humanity. Okay. And here again is the humanity's first degree at the stage which we are now considering. Let's see here. Well, maybe it offers something additional. So why don't I take a look at that? At the stage which we are now considering, and let's see where we are exactly, in Cosmic Fire, page 869 and 870, at the stage we are now considering, that of the organization and unfoldment of the first tier of petals, sounds familiar. The egoic influence felt at the beginning is but small. I think we have done this one. So let's just say this has been commented upon when I was extracting these from the AAB extracts. I sometimes doubled up. Okay. Now this is interesting from Cosmic Fire here. And the monadic ray is felt in the mental unit on the path, or after the first initiation. What really is the path? We're not really treading the path until we have taken the first initiation. The stimulation, he says, for instance, that is the result of the action of the monadic ray upon the mental unit is only felt when the aspirant treads the path, or after he has taken the first initiation. Well, is it the same thing? Is it an equivalence, or are they sequential? We can decide. But the true path, I think, relates from the first initiation onward. Then you are really a confirmed disciple, although from some respects considered to be probationary until accepted discipleship is reached. Now, you know, we know that the monad has an effect upon the ray of the mind, just as the soul has an effect upon the ray of the astral body, and the personality has the effect upon the ray of the personality. So, you know, say you have a mind that's on a particular ray, let's say the fourth ray, but your monad is the third. And so the third ray influence will be blending with the fourth ray tendencies if you are of a sufficient stage of development to warrant that blending. So the stimulation is occurring, you know, once you've taken the first degree, you're not aware of the monad's presence within the soul nature, but it does have an effect. The action of the egoic ray upon the astral permanent atom is felt as soon as the ego can make a good connection with the physical brain. And so that is, what should we say earlier? This is an important reference earlier. When this is so, the egoic ray is beginning to affect that astral permanent atom powerfully and continuously, and this occurs when a man is highly evolved and is nearing the path. So he's nearing the first initiation. And if I was to look here on page 71, on would I find it? Let's just see. Okay. And maybe there would be, right. Well, he basically says here that the personality ray has a direct action upon the physical permanent atom and is going to blend, I suppose, its ray with that of the physical permanent atom. And the egoic ray has a similar effect upon the astral permanent atom. The monadic ray has a close effect. It has a close connection with the mental unit. The connection, the word connection, is not the same as direct action, but, well, for the moment, we can think of it maybe that way. The effect which they have is threefold, he says, but it is not simultaneous. They work ever, as do all things in nature, in ordered cycles. For instance, the stimulation, for instance, that is the result of the action of the monadic ray upon the mental unit is only felt when the aspirant treads the path or after he has taken the first initiation. And that's what we have been studying here. And, yeah. So the effect, perhaps, oh, there's such important stuff here, you know. And I've made comment upon this in a written form. The different spirilli in the permanent atoms and whether they are associated with the personality, the first four spirilli. The egoic ray concerns the fifth and the sixth, and the monadic ray, the seventh. All right. I wanted to get something here that was related, and we find this in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. See, what we've just been reading, Cosmic Fire, tells us that the monadic ray has an effect upon the mental unit, the egoic ray upon the astral permanent atom, and the personality upon the physical permanent atom. So, but that's not upon the vehicle itself. There's another reference here. The personality ray finds its major field of activity and expression in the physical body. It determines its life trend and purpose, its appearance and occupation. It is selective of quality when influenced by the egoic ray, because we have life quality and appearance, and quality is associated with the egoic ray. The egoic ray has direct and specific action upon the astral body. We're not only talking here about the astral permanent atom. Hence, the battlefield of the life is ever on the plane of illusions. He's calling that the astral plane. As the soul seeks to dispel the ancient glamour, the aspirant is unable to walk in the light. The monadic ray influences the mental body after the integration of the personality has been brought about. Now, you know, what kind of integration? Is this the integration which is previous to a substantial degree of soul infusion? Because there is such an integration. And that integrated personality may war against tendency towards increased soul infusion. It causes the mind nature to achieve that clear vision, which finds its consummation at the fourth initiation and releases the man from the limitations of form. So there is an analogy to this triplicity and an interesting symbolic relation in the three initiations. So maybe that, you know, would have to be put in here as well. Subsidiary. Oh, goodness. There it is. I went looking for it, and it was there all the time. Well, that's what we tend to discover as we go along. But anyway, there has to be some sort of manner in which the different monadic, egoic personality rays influence the ray that is already present. And it's at the first initiation, anyway, apparently, that the monadic ray is beginning to have its effect. It's only felt when the aspirant treads the path, or after he has taken the first initiation, then it leads to a kind of clarity of mind, clear vision, which will find its consummation at the fourth degree. Again, you know, DK was discussing with this individual who thought he was taking the fourth degree, but basically DK told him, look, the clarity of your vision is not sufficient for the fourth degree because you are still blinded by certain glamours and so forth. He talked about the fourth degree being approached clear-eyed. So maybe that has something to do with the monad's influence. Now, here is something I've mentioned before, and I think it's quite interesting, from Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, page 386. It is interesting to note that prior to the first initiation, the personalities of all aspirants to this great expansion of consciousness will be found upon the third ray, which is, like the solar plexus center, a great clearinghouse for energies, because the energies have to pass through that center. A great clearinghouse for energies and a great transmuting station, I suppose. Transmutation is purification, if I may use the term. So let's just say to ourselves that all right, I see what the problem is. Yeah, the problem is that I had a different cut and paste there. All right, sorry for these minor technical delays, but it doesn't make sense to stop because then you get involved with all kinds of other difficulties. So transmutation is purification. It is the elevation of the quality of the atoms. It says, if he may, now here, there's something here that I have put in. At the third initiation, you need not have the third ray. Well, I'm not sure quite what I meant by that, but let's just see if something emerges. Third ray is needed for an integrated personality. That's our next thing to consider, and that's in rays and the initiation. Certain of the advanced humanity of the period gradually found their way onto, or rather into, the stream of divine energy we call the third ray, and this is, let's say, prior to the first initiation. It was a period of growing intelligence. Now, you know, you cannot have the third ray as part of your soul expression. Let's see if I can. You cannot. Okay. You cannot have the third ray as part of your soul expression, and maybe even personality expression, before the period of intelligence supervenes. So during the Atlantean period, which this is discussing, people reached that stage of intelligence and could transfer on to the third ray. The possibility, therefore, of their becoming integrated personalities was for the first time recognized, because the third ray has to be important in the factor of integration. Interestingly, I'll put that down. Third ray important in the factor of integration. And both Cancer and Capricorn have the third ray streaming through them. And they are both signs of integration. Such an integration must ever precede conscious human initiation. And, conscious human initiation, it could be the third degree, because certainly an integrated personality is needed by then, but maybe even the first degree, perhaps even the first degree is indicated. All right. So, different kinds of personality and soul rays are entering as possible expressions at different periods. Now, the first and the second ray, personality and even soul, do not enter until the time that one is approaching the first initiation. The third ray, personality, remember that everything begins with 4, 5, 6, and 7. The possibility of a third ray personality and even a third ray soul in which the sixth of the fourth ray can transfer onto the third ray soul nature comes in during the period of intelligence, which is always preceding the actual initiatory period. Actually preceding the first initiation. Okay. I've sometimes talked before, if you're a third ray soul, can you have a third ray personality? And it has seemed to me that the doubling of the rays, same soul ray and personality ray, occur only at quite an advanced stage. Now, you read about this, as far as I know, only once in the teaching. And that is with regard to the integration of the first ray soul. The integration process involving the first ray soul, where at long last it is possible, I suspect rare, none of the disciples had this, to have both a first ray soul and a first ray personality. And it's only when balance can really be maintained. Maybe a fourth ray mind is found there, and a second ray astral body and a sixth ray physical etheric body, and the balance is thereby achieved. Well, probably it would be a different story with a double two or a double three. These things, I suspect, are possible and for certain purposes, but only when the balance can be preserved, and I don't think that's at the first initiation or that period, where we're just really starting on the spiritual path and so much struggle and adjustment lies ahead of us. I don't think that balance can at all be achieved at that early stage. And so the double ray, in my opinion anyway, is not likely there. I've seen some ray theorists that load up their assessments with like 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, you know, that kind of thing, or 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, you know. But I don't think there's a rational basis for that kind of doubling up, tripling up, quadrupling up on the rays. Okay, now the next section is about, it's from Cosmic Fire, and it's about the pranic fire and kundalinic fire at the first initiation. So this is a technical matter concerning the first initiation. It produces a quickening of the normal vibration of the physical body so that it responds with more readiness to the higher note of the ego and causes a steady rising of the blending fires, I suppose, kundalinic and pranic, through the threefold channel of the spinal column. Now let's see what the it is. You know, that's the trouble with taking these references a little bit out of context. You're beginning somewhere and you're not quite sure where. And let's see where it is. Yeah, this is an important one, 123 and 124. So the third stage is that in which active radiatory matter or prana is blended ever more perfectly with the fire latent in matter. We might call that kundalini fire. And this results in certain effects, this blending. So I'm going to, I'm going to at least put this part. Obviously, this is one of those sections and I detailed it quite adequately, I hope, in the written commentary on A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which you can find on Makara. So if I go here, I'll be able to get the it, won't I? Okay. So the third stage is that in which active radiatory matter or prana, remember there is active fire and latent fire, is blended ever more perfectly with the fire latent in matter. And this results with this quickening of the normal vibration of the physical body so it can respond to the higher note of the ego. We have to get it keyed up so that the egoic energy can be absorbed and applied. And it causes a steady rising of the blended fires. So these fires are prana and latent. It's active, active fire and latent fire. They're blending. So the blending fires are active fire and latent fire. And I'm going to just make that blue so we can keep it under control. Okay. Through the threefold channel in the spinal column, and we're not yet here talking about the particular routes that are followed. In the second stage, this vitalizing blended fire reaches a center between the lower part of the shoulder blades. And let's just call that a pranic center, which is described on page 170 of Cosmic Fire, I believe. Let's just check it out. Or if not quite 170, then 169. The shoulder center, that's it. The center near the diaphragm, but above it, and the spleen. Okay. Okay, so which is the point of conjunction and of complete merging of the fire from the base of the spine and the fire circulating along the pranic triangle, which we've just looked at on page 169. It will be remembered how one point of this triangle originates there. Yeah, it's going to be, I suppose, the shoulder center. When the threefold basic fire and the threefold pranic fire meet and merge, and it's interesting that they are each threefold, then evolution proceeds with greatly increased velocity. Now let's just say, round the period of the first initiation. This is affected definitely, at least finally, by the first initiation. Apparently it could occur before, when the polarization becomes fixed in one or other of the three higher centers, which center being dependent on a man's ray, and this is the monadic ray. So these are some of the energy things that are happening as the first initiation is being taken. There is a blending of active fire and latent fire. Each one of them is threefold. They are merging together in a center in the pranic triangle. It's the highest center in the pranic triangle. And the entire process of evolution is being speeded up from the time the blending and merging occurs around the period of the first initiation. Well, this blending and merging of the fires in general, we don't have to be concerned with or work with. This will happen quite naturally unless a master is taking a student under special advisement and special cultivation. But you might wonder why the master would do that around the time of the first initiation, because it's just the beginning, really. Maybe around the time of the third initiation, that could happen because the person is an accepted disciple and some ability might be seen by the master which warrants the special training. You know, I keep on thinking about C.W. Leadbeater, who had many gifts, and those gifts were the result, I think, of some special training he received from Master Kuthumi. You know, his ability was seen, and he did write extensively and awakened people to many interior events, or at least he described them, and people became aware of them. So fires are blending, and there's a kind of a six-fold blending. Interesting that the personality itself, you know, when you look at Gemini, Castor, and Pollux, Pollux is a giant star, but Castor is really six stars at three doubles. So it's kind of interesting that when you think about the three and the three, and three times two, we have a six related to the personality. So these are, I suppose, the fires of the personality that we are here discussing. In any case, the initiatory process represents a speeding up of evolution, and even from the time immediately before the first initiation, and so this is good to know. Okay? All right. Now, excuse me. Now, this is from Dyna 2. I mean, you know, in a way, we're kind of skipping all over the place here. It's a little less coherent than the actual compilation, which at least had the books in order. For myself, the order here is as I excise them for my own references as I was poring over the books. So accepted disciples are in the hierarchy and have taken the first initiation. This is an idea with which we are familiar. And if you do look, I guess that's one. We'll do this one. Okay. Well, that's nice, but I'm looking for something different. There, I'm looking for that. And this blue circle is the circle of hierarchy. It also seems to be a circle including Shambhala, and we do see that, even people of lower grade than the accepted disciple are found within the periphery or on the periphery of hierarchy. So as students of these things, if we have taken the first degree or the second degree, or even if we are on the probationary path, we really are under the influence of hierarchy, and having taken the first or second degree, or for sure when we are an accepted disciple, we are, we might say, within the periphery of hierarchy. But the question is, can you see it? Can you see it in yourself? Can you see it in others? I mean, when you look, can you practice that third city, you know, on the higher mental plane called spiritual discernment? Can you see the approximate spiritual level, the level of spiritual evolution, and therefore know how to speak and what to offer and what to attempt to evoke, you know? So we need to practice this with people we know. We don't, you know, need to make judgments and kind of rank people, and it can be a form of egotism when we do that. But if we are bound to help somebody, and DK suggests spending 5 hours studying the person before you really begin, then we want to have some kind of ability to place such a person and see what they are striving towards, the level at which they stand. I mean, have they taken the first degree? Are they little chelas? Are they chelas in the light? Are they really accepted disciples, you know, and so forth? Or, you know, do some of the higher stages of discipleship apply to them? We maybe cannot know for sure, and mistakes are made, but in order at least to deliver something helpful, we have to have that kind of idea to give us at least a starting point, a point of orientation. All right, so I would remind you, says Master DK, that when you think of the hierarchy, you think in the terms of the masters, as most people do, and of the higher initiates, and this is not correct. I think I did this one before, but it bears repeating. Every accepted disciple is within the periphery of hierarchy, within it, not just standing on the periphery, you know, sort of knocking at the door, but has actually been brought in because being accepted, they are members of the ashram, and however lowly their status they're in, and the ashram is within the hierarchy, of course. So every accepted disciple is within the periphery of hierarchy, as that map seems to show us. And as I've frequently pointed out, all have in some past life only, or in this life as well. Well, he seems to hint at the importance of taking the first initiation in a past life. Have taken the first initiation. Every disciple has been to Bethlehem, you know, the house of bread. It's an etheric place, etheric physical place, really, and sort of commits us to work within the phenomenal worlds. We have that birth within the heart at the lowest level and have much to work out on that lowest level, even on the, you know, the systemic gaseous, liquid, and dense levels or subplanes. Every disciple has been to Bethlehem and has seen the star in the east, which we can say which inspired his or her aspiration. And the three kings within himself made the journey towards that star. Then have participated in the birth. Well, that's looking at the three kings a little bit differently, you know, but we all have the three kings within our nature. And, you know, probably representing the mental, astral, and etheric physical nature, and we have to bring them towards the higher possibilities represented by that star, which represents a higher power with which we are coming en rapport. So do realize that we are finding higher potencies in these kinds of studies, and our aspirational objective is really to be en rapport with these higher potencies and not just talk about them, obviously. That star which shines forth in fuller splendor each time another initiation is taken. So with the first, second, and third degree, there is that star, and he talks about the stars. He talks about a seven-pointed star at some of the higher initiations, and also six-pointed, and five-pointed is the usual. So he does talk about that in relation to some of the higher the more pointed stars, what can I say, are found at the higher initiations and involve the Buddhic and the Atmic plane and so forth. But there are these inner phenomena which are in the nature of confirmations. And I was just thinking that, you know, Madame Rurik and some other first-rate people that I know see stars. They, you know, at certain points when they're on the right track, they see a star of a certain kind flashing forth in confirmation or affirmation of what they're thinking or the process that they are going through or what they're discovering. And when evil is present and when the danger is present, they may see a black star. That was reported in relation to Madame Rurik. And well, and I think it takes place with other people too. I don't know if it's a specifically a, what can I say, a first ray soul kind of thing, but maybe it's available to everybody, but Master Mori is the only one that I have read that is dealing with it. Well, here's something interesting about Arjuna and the first initiation. We're all Arjuna, aren't we? We are the warring disciple at war with the members of our own household. This is from Esoteric Psychology 2, 17 and 18. And, you know, the fight really begins. Well, before the first initiation, but the fight only gets more intense. And the dweller on the threshold is not really overcome until the fourth degree, perhaps. Maybe it's humanity's dweller and a little bit of that immense thought form is negated or conquered or somehow neutralized. Our own dweller, perhaps, it's called a fearful conflict. It involves Mars and the moon probably veiling the planet of will, Vulcan. It says veiling a hidden planet, page 70 or 71 in Esoteric Astrology. You know, you make up your own mind. But we do struggle, okay? And humanity is the struggling kingdom. It's a fourth-rate kingdom. And its sign is Scorpio, and you just can't get a sign in which any more struggle is occurring. So it's really through conflict in Scorpio in the fourth ray, we do eventually achieve harmony. So here's Arjuna, and that's who we are. We are the one who is torn between the different aspects of his nature, higher and lower. When he is definitely aware of the issues involved, and it takes a while because at first he is dejected and doesn't know what to do because they are both members of his household and he feels closely related to both and definitely throws the weight of his influence, desires, and mind on the side of the soul, he can take the first initiation. So that's Arjuna and the first initiation. That's what this is all about. So, you know, let's ask, when can Arjuna take the first initiation? And we are all Arjuna, or Arjuna, however we want to pronounce that. Here in Finland, everything is laid on the first syllable. So French is very different. You know, let's say the word information, information, you know, pam, 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 it's the fourth syllable. But here, if it was the word for in Finnish for information is opastus instead of opastus or opastus, it's opastus. It's always the first syllable. And that gives me a problem. Okay, when the ray of the soul focused itself fully through him and all his centers are controlled by that focused soul ray, he then becomes the transfigured initiate and takes the third initiation as well. This is so important. When, you know, this is a major extent of soul infusion, really. So here's when we can take the first, here we can take the second. We can imagine that there is some interim stage involving the second initiation. So whatever the centers are doing, it's the ray of the soul that is basically controlling them. So, you know, I would ask you, do you feel your soul ray coming in? And if you, you know, if you've decided what it is and you've ascertained it or pretty certain of it, you know, don't let any teacher tell you exactly what it is. DK is DK and he can tell you, but everything else is an educated guess. So, you know, you've got to experiment for yourself, really. But do you feel something coming in and does it come over you and how do you detect it? You know, this presence of the soul, energy, focusing fully through you and controlling your centers of speech, of love, of vision, you know, whatever, controlling your centers. Do you feel that? Well, that's a question for all of us. The ray of the personality is occultly extinguished, not just extinguished, but occultly extinguished or absorbed by the ray of the soul, and all the potencies and attributes of the lower rays become subsidiary to and colored by the soul ray. This is so good, isn't it? This is really a good one. And something that we want to refer to in our process, right? I just use different colors, right? Okay, when the ray of the soul focuses fully through him, maybe we would call it like 75% atomic matter is found in the etheric vehicle, and maybe in the astral vehicle too. It's a little more problematic when you come to the mental vehicle, because we have a different kind of etheric setup with the angel there, or the egoic lotus there. The disciple becomes a man of God, a person whose powers are controlled by the dominant vibration of the soul ray, and whose inner sensitive mechanism is vibrating to the measure of that soul ray, which in its turn, is being itself reoriented to and controlled by the monadic ray. And let's just call it, you know, what do we have here? Blending. All right, so we have a lot of blending going on here of these different rays. And whereas you may be able to detect the presence of a given ray, you know, I ask this for all of us, can we detect the presence of a blend? Now, that's another refinement in our analysis. Can you detect two rays together, three rays together? Can you discriminate, discern? Discern, perhaps, is the word. Well, you know, we'll get better at it for sure. So this is a very valuable paragraph. We are Arjuna, and when we finally decide, hey, I'm going to live the life of the soul, this is the first initiation. He can take that then. Then his physical orientation, his desires, and his mind are on the side of the soul. So since we're dealing with the first initiation here, this is really the important one, you know? And I'll make it bigger as a result. Yeah. So I assume people like ourselves have thrown the weight of our influence, desires, and mind on the side of the soul. Not perfectly, of course, but we don't so much want what the personality wants, or at least we struggle with it. And the ancient authority of the personality is eventually beaten. It is conquered at the third degree, when their soul is focusing fully through him. Now, maybe it's only a portion of the solar angel, that much which is the angel of the presence, you know. As I say, if the angel of the presence, with all its tremendous radiance and development, focused fully through any vehicle that we have presently, I'm afraid the vehicle couldn't stand it, you know. So anyway, we are on our way to becoming men and women of God, or, you know, true brothers to the hierarchy, a man of God, and I think we have to work very hard to make sure that our vibration is controlled by the soul ray, our mechanism, the aspects of our mechanism, all controlled by the soul ray. So I would say this. Take an accounting of how much of your energy system is controlled by the soul ray, and where are the resistances? Where are the resistances? And then you can work on those accordingly. Okay, let's see what else we have. A little bit more. Christ's coming, well, I've said this before, but it really bears repeating, will indicate that humanity has taken the first initiation. I think what I've done is talked about it, but maybe the reference has not been brought forward. You will see, therefore, why the Christ must come at this time, for he is the one who presides. Yeah, I think I've read it, but why not? First and second initiations. At the first and second initiations, and it is his coming which will indicate that humanity has taken the first initiation. Well, we seem pretty far from it right now, don't we? Of course, it's the raising of all the darkness before the clearing, the inevitable clearing. So, okay, there's progress being made, and as Master Moria says, oftentimes, the worse the better. Okay, well, maybe for a first-rate type, it is so. It is his coming which will indicate that humanity has taken the first initiation. So, obviously, he hasn't reappeared yet in the way that he will, which will confirm and consolidate the work done, and which will inaugurate the world cycle and period in which the task of reorganizing the emotional and psychic life of humanity will take place. There's your seventh ray and Aquarius, and with Aquarius representing the higher energies and their work upon the waves of the astral body, the psychic body, basically. This period will release the energy of goodwill, especially in the third part of the Aquarian age, and thus automatically bring about right human relations. And what do we see here? You know, it's so important. And we see why DK has emphasized goodwill, that goodwill will automatically lead to right human relations. Okay, here we are, right human relations. So if we can possibly exercise goodwill in all of our dealings, all of our interactions, well, this will lead to the kind of relationships that must be present in the world to a certain extent, because peace will be built upon it, and the Lord cannot come before a measure of peace far more than exists now is established in humanity. I mean, the presence of his energy would, I suppose, if it were premature, would cause a tremendous amount of chaos and would, you know, stimulate negative forces, because energy is energy, you know, and if there's too many negative forces around, then they could be, in man, stimulated. Of course, there will be probably an attack upon him and his headquarters. Maybe the Black Lodge is not beaten back yet, and maybe we really have to wait almost until the judgment day for this particular planet, for the Black Lodge to be negated with respect to most of this planet. But these things are in the mind of those who know the plan and know it in a very high and certain manner. So for us, we're piecing it all together, and a little bit of insight comes here and there, and before long we will have an understanding. So, okay, so basically what I'm going to say here, with hope, is that we're reaching the end of this particular I'm looking for, I wanted to make it easier, you know, but I'm not sure I have. So I'm going to put this in where we ended, try to get this out to you, you know, so that you can piece these things together and have a whole picture of it. Right, and it would be right here. So, this is the end of number 10, and the beginning of number 11, and who knows when. So I'm going to sort of erase the 2nd of July here, because I just don't know when it will be possible. Okay, friends, I hope that that you are learning the method of pure reason. You know, it's an intuitive method under Mercury, and it has to do with the positioning of different items of knowledge and their causes and their relationships in a way that is true and actually reflects the archetypal purpose of things. rather than just some kind of arrangement which is subject to illusion, a true arrangement of knowledge. Now, I'm not saying that I can deliver that, but I hope I can give some hints about relations that will stimulate your intuition and your apprehension of pure reason. You know, it's one of the Buddhic faculties, isn't it? Okay, so we'll go on now, and thank you for your participation, and we'll continue. You know, we have a fair amount to go, and I've tried not to be too repetitious, but when I see a really good paragraph, I just can't resist saying something additional about it. Hopefully, in all of this talk, the outlines of things as they are will emerge for you and will emerge for me. Okay, many blessings, lots of love, and see you before long.